and welcome to the Uncharted Podcast, where we explore possibilities in higher education through uplifting conversations and inspiring ideas. I'm Becky St. Clair, one of your hosts for today, and with me is today's co-host, Lem Garcia. Hi, Lem.
Hi, Becky. How are you?
Pretty good. Nice to have you here.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thanks for joining us here on Uncharted. It's our first episode, and we've been super excited to get this project off the ground. And today we're going to be talking with Arturo Lopez, chaplain here at Pacific Union College, about the theme he and his colleagues have chosen for the 25 to 26 school year. We'll also be discussing the overall concept of themes, their purpose, their impact, and their significance. Welcome to the Uncharted Podcast, Arturo.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you.
Good. Yeah. I always like to kind of do a little bit of background, like, who is Arturo? We all know him, but like, you know, maybe some people
but
don't
do
know,
we?
Like, or we're still getting to know you.
So this is what it is. Yeah. I mean, I'm still getting to know myself.
Okay. So we're all on that journey.
Self-discovery.
That's right.
Here
self-discovery.
We go.
Yeah. I mean, just a little bit about myself. I grew up in Guadalajara, Jalisco, Mexico, moved to this country, USA, Napa specifically. When I was about 12 years old and grew up there, pretty much went to school there, middle school, high school, then community college, then came straight to PUC to study theology, become a pastor, and go through that whole, you know, journey of getting to pastor different churches and in the midst of that, getting married and eventually end up back in my alma mater, mm-hmm. which I could not believe this was going to happen, but it's a blessing and we're happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you here. Welcome back, by the way.
Thank you.
And is this 2 years now, 3 years?
Going into my third year.
Going into your third year.
Yeah, that's right.
Awesome. For us at PUC and for us who have been part of, you know, the college environment, we know that specifically being a private Christian college, Seventh-day Adventist College, spirituality is such a core an important component of student life. And we want to talk about that a little bit today because one of the things that we want to discuss is the spiritual theme and the impact that it has on college life, your vision for what that would look like this year, and how it can involve everyone at different levels, right? So often when we think of college, we only think of students, but there is this whole framework behind that is sustaining that environment from faculty, obviously, but to staff, in our case, the church, and I would argue even the other institutions attached to it, preparatory school and the elementary and everything else. So we have a theme for 2025-2026 here at PUC. What is that theme, Arturo, and how did it come to be? Tell us about that.
Yeah, no, thank you for this honor to be able to talk a little bit about the theme. I feel that any theme, the way that it's put together and the way that it comes about, it's by getting to know people, getting to know the needs, and getting to see the direction of where any organization or your life is going to. And here at PUC as chaplain and as friend, as colleague, and just, you know, as a human being, having to interact with so many people, you get to hear so many lives, so many backgrounds, so many stories, get to know people that, you know, have 20 degrees and you're like, man, I want to be like that one day. and others that, you know, they're just here to get to contribute and serve and just be a part of this awesome community. And one of the things that I just kind of, the opportunity presented itself for us to have a spiritual theme, because the campus as a whole has a vision and a mission and sort of like a theme, but just for this whole year, spiritually, one thing that kept coming up in conversations and in prayers and just kind of being open to hearing God's voice is the theme of journey, of how all of us here are on a different journey. We, you know, coming from different backgrounds, but the title, I guess, if you want to title this theme, is called The Journey. Mm-hmm. And it's a theme that you know, one of the things we wanted to focus on is that it's not static or formulaic, but it's dynamic, it's formative, and it's and it's a life. So it's not, you know, something that, oh, we got to stick to everything and anything that says on the document about the theme. No, it's we're going to be, you know, doing so many things that kind of revolve around the journey and how that impacts us all, you know, all in our different rhythms and our different responsibilities here in this community, this campus.
Yeah. No, I think I love the idea of a journey. And we kind of started out the podcast talking about that, like the self-discovery was kind of, you know, that led straight into what we're talking about. So I think that we have a couple different directions we can go here. There's a spiritual aspect, like you were talking about, to this journey. But let's talk about that, and let's also talk about how does that apply to the rest of your life? What's the life application side of the journey?
Yeah, no, that's definitely key. I mean, you can't just kind of put anything out there and say, okay, this is what this thing is going to be, and if there's no application to it, what's even the point? Spiritually, this theme, which, by the way, it really comes, a lot of it comes out of the spiritual master plan that we as a campus mm-hmm. have. And the essence of it, really, like, if you read that whole document, which is a long document, but it's important. It's got very good information, and it really creates the vision and mission and strategic plan for the spiritual life of the campus. In summary, the essence of that whole spiritual master plan is that anything and everything we do on this campus, through church, through the school, through the community, anything that we do, is that we got to create opportunities for people to experience Christ. Mm. And so that way I feel it just kind of helps us focus not so much on the program, but it helps us focus on, you know, what significant things can we do personally so that people can experience Christ. And so this theme of the journey, it's really, it kind of pushes us to give us more direction to see that, okay, if when we experience Christ, as we experience Christ, it's all about a continuous journey. It never stops. We never reach that end. Mm. It just keeps going. There's no checklist. There's really nothing set for us to say, okay, I have reached.
There's no final destination.
That's
really.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and so it's just, you know, it keeps it alive, because if we can see that our experience in Christ, whether we haven't experienced him before, because that's our context here. We have a lot of students that come into our community that have not, that they haven't met Christ yet. They don't know what he's all about, and we're here to show them and to help them experience him in a special and personal way. So yeah, that's sort of the idea of it. And obviously there's some passages in the background, thinking of Ephesians, where the Apostle Paul talks about how we must walk in love, and really at that point, when we walk in love and in friendship and together as a, you know, as a community, is where, well, you know, at some point you gotta take things seriously, right? You have to be awake, you have to pay attention, and be intentional about your relationship with Christ.
I want to pause here for a second. I mean, there's so much good stuff in what you just mentioned. It sounds like, on the one hand, we have this concept of not just thinking about the destination and the end goal, right? Mm-hmm. Which with in academia and in college life, of course, that's part of the journey. But adding value and stopping to see, you know, like, the discovery process of what is God doing? How is he showing up in our lives here and now? And I think that in itself has, like, really, really tremendous value. On the other hand, you mentioned a key word, which was spiritual master plan. Mm-hmm. And many people may not know this, but there is so much work, you know, going on behind scenes, behind the curtain, to create and craft and set the direction for spiritual life of a campus like PUC. And to come up with a plan needs, like, it requires intentionality, it requires a structure. And so what I'm trying to say here is, on the one hand, we have structure and intentionality. On the other hand, we're saying it's very much dynamic. Mm-hmm. And I think as human beings and as followers of Jesus, it's okay to be in those two spaces, because sometimes we become too rigid and we want, like you were saying, a checklist. And, you know, we want to cross the T's and dot the I's. Mm. And on the other hand, life throws curveballs at us, and things and situations fluctuate in an environment like PUC, whether it's academic, whether it's administrative, whether it's spiritual, like in all areas, and family, right? Because we operate in so many circles.
Yes.
And so spirituality and this theme that you're talking about of the journey of being alive, I think it's inviting us to be present.
Mm. Right. Yeah. And I'm glad, you know, everything that you say, it makes me think of the importance of working within that middle space where if knowing our context as a Seventh-day Adventist institution, we cannot expect that every single person, especially the students, specifically the students, they're all going to come from an Adventist background. Mm-hmm. There's a large percentage of our student body who are not Adventist. Yes, our largest percentage is they're Adventist, but it's a small number because then after that you follow with Catholic and Baptist and other Christian backgrounds. And there's a large percentage of our students who they don't want to tell us what they believe in.
Right.
Right. They don't want to give their religious affiliation. And that's okay too. So we have to work in that middle space of there has to be structure, there has to be order, there has to be a checklist. We have to be open, we have to be flexible, we have to sort of like go day by day, because if we work in that middle space, it would allow us to, I feel like it would allow us to hear God's voice in a more powerful way so that we can know how to work with every single individual, because everyone's different. They're all different, come from different backgrounds. And that's why I think with the spiritual master plan, it addresses that it's such a diverse place, a diverse campus. And we have to have a plan, but we have to be flexible and open to see how God can help us reach every single individual in this place.
Mm. What I'm hearing is that the uniting factor here between all of these individual journeys and experiences is God.
Yes.
That the middle space you're talking about can be bridged with and through God,
right?
Which is exactly what we're trying to accomplish with this theme, correct?
Yes.
And our whole master plan.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the life of anyone that lives in this community is, I don't think you can get away with not experiencing Christ at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen I've seen it time and time and again of students who push back against this idea of, well, I came here because of, you know, whatever reason, but they didn't come here to meet Christ, but then Christ is already waiting for them.
Mm.
And when they get to encounter him through the mentorship of a teacher, through a staff, through somebody who works, you know, at such a random place on campus, and they get to experience Christ through a person.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you see these students coming to church, being involved, wanting to be a part of the spiritual life.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw one of these students as Pastor Lim and I were walking in to this space, who had experienced that, you know, he's met Christ in this place because of his friends and the people in the community.
Yeah.
You know, going back to this idea of a journey as well. The other day this happened to me as I was driving, you know, through Highway 12, coming back from Napa, I think. And I purposely, we've all driven Highway 12 or Silverado Trail, you know, a billion times. But I purposely thought to myself, let me try to notice something different about the road today.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did that, different things started to pop into my brain, into my mind, into my field of vision that I hadn't noticed before. Not that I was being distracted, but I was allowing myself to look through a different lens at a road, a journey that I have traveled on before. And I think sometimes for us Christians, for followers of Jesus, for Seventh-day Adventists, perhaps we feel like the road of education, the road of college life, the road of spirituality is one that we've traveled year after year. And I've only been here, you know, 3 years, but we have people here that have spent a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Retired here,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Raised kids here, even grandkids, and have devoted their life to education and to the purpose and the vision of PUC. Yeah. And sometimes in that process, I think the journey can feel too familiar and like it's void of freshness and newness. But I think the key for all of us, whether we've been here 6 months, a year, or we're starting fresh, might be curiosity. Like, what might God be inviting us to do and to notice this year, right? Through this theme that you are presenting, that you are inviting us into.
Yeah, I mean that's always exciting, right? To when you get to that realization of, man, my journey is just kind of looks the same and it's been looking the same for the past few years. But when you start opening up and when you start to let God's voice speak to you, especially through people, because I feel that that's the most powerful way. That's the beauty of this place. And that's something we can be excited is, especially when we get freshmen come in that first year, you don't know what to expect. And when you get new faculty come in too, and new staff, you know, new people. And we just had a couple of hirings this last few months. And I think that if we are willing to get to know people, I feel that's going to be the most powerful way where our journey is going to be shaken up, because, you know, we're going to meet someone who it's a great influence to us, empowering, mentoring. And then we're going to meet someone who's going to be like, oh man, maybe I shouldn't spend that much time with this individual because they're making me go back to my old habits. And I'm not saying they're old habits. It's just that, you know, people, this place is all about people and Christ works through people. And I just feel like, starting with this theme of the journey, as soon as we get to encounter somebody new, or you know, new freshman, new faculty, or somebody that's been working here for this as much as we have, let's give it a chance and say, you know what, I'm gonna get to know that individual and see how God can help, you know, enrich my journey through this individual. And I've seen it, I've experienced it through you guys. So you know, it's just that's how it happens. I feel so. That's something we can be excited about.
So. How do you envision this theme coming to life on campus this year? Are there any initiatives that have popped into your brainstorming process, and also to you personally? Like, what areas of your journey does it touch on?
Yeah, no. That thank you for asking. I guess I'll start with myself. I think personally, I've experienced how working in a college campus, it can be all consuming, especially when the school year starts. And as it goes on to for the whole year, it can be all consuming. And your job, in a way, because you know you're doing something good for someone, for the students, you know, your work is allowing for someone to get something for their future. And then you're kind of thinking, well, you know, that's the way I'm serving. And maybe that's part of my spirituality. But it's sort of sometimes that becomes the way that you see your spirituality in action, right? But then sometimes too, you forget on the most important things where spirituality starts and ends. And that is, you know, those intimate moments that you get to have with God and in prayer, in scripture. And that's something that I've seen it. I've experienced it myself. I think all of us here can experience it at some point that you are not, you know, spending some time in the word as much as you want to. I mean, I do often, but not as much as I want. And I feel that this theme, I feel, is making me kind of push myself to say, okay, well, before I remember every year I attempted to read the whole Bible in a year, but the moment you get to Leviticus and Deuteronomy, then you're like, oh man, let me restart this and start somewhere else. But it's pushing me to kind of get back to some of the books in the Bible that I haven't read in a while, and that they are some of my favorite. So that I can just kind of find that joy, you know, of the things that I love about how I've gotten to know God through His Word and also prayer. Spend more time in conversation with Him, because I know I can pray while I'm driving, while I'm walking, while I'm just kind of, you know, sitting somewhere or even reading a book. Like that's something I know I can do, but I know I can be more intentional with my conversations with God And so that's something I'm excited about experiencing this whole year, being more intentional about that. But some of the, I guess I can share so many things, but one thing that I'm really excited as to how this is going to carry towards the campus, well, it's a two-part. One is with Dr. Amy Leukert, who's our new Vice President for Student and Spiritual Life. Mm-hmm. I think you guys are going to get to interview her too. Yes. We've been talking about ideas of how we can reach our faculty and our staff and how we can do things, you know, like the most basic things like spiritual programs from there for them. Because as a chaplain, by default, the ministry is 100 from the start is 100% focused on the students. But that's not my only job, you know, for the pastors and all of us that work here on campus, for the spiritual life of the campus, is we are to reach everyone, not just the students. So I'm excited that we're thinking and praying about what are some of the ways that we're going to be able to do some things for the faculty and staff so we can build community, mm-hmm. we can worship together, and just as faculty and staff. Because if when you do something for the students, it can look very different.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
The students, the worship and their programs, they have to be a little bit different. But for the students, I've been sitting with some of my student leaders, specifically my student director of Vespers. And we're taking the theme and breaking it up into three parts, fall, winter, and spring. And each quarter is going to be a different focus. And every Friday, there's going to be a progression of topics that we can talk about within the three different parts of the theme. And so anyone that gets to share a sermon, a Bible study, or, you know, testimony, however we do our Vespers programming, there's already going to be a purpose that they need to accomplish that is focused and connected to the theme, so that we're not, you know, we're not every Friday, we're not talking about things that are completely disconnected, even sometimes from reality. Because, you know, you're like, you can talk about something that it's important, but it's not relevant to the students at that time in their lives. Like, for example, let me give you just a quick snapshot of this. Winter quarter, we're going to focus on endurance and staying alive in Christ through struggle, emotional fatigue, and everyday faithfulness.
That sounds like winter quarter.
Right, exactly. I knew I was going to get to someone. There's a lot of breakups going on during winter quarter.
Oh, sad.
For some reason. But also there's a lot of, you know, depression and students. I mean, just the weather itself and something about winter quarter that that just really emotionally, it takes a lot out of the students and also out of the faculty and staff. I remember this last year, without talking to you, Pastor Lem, or to Pastor Nate, or to some other people here on campus. It was my first year. I was not prepared for winter quarter, and I experienced something weird, and I wanted to talk to someone about this. I'm like, you know what? There's something going on campus. I don't know what it is. And then different people in different places mentioned this situation, and I'm like, ooh, maybe, yeah, it wasn't just me. It's everyone. It's a thing. And so anyways, but yeah, so I'm excited that we can, at least through a small part, through Vespers, because that's just a small part. The way we help each other during winter quarter is not just in one place, it's everywhere, right? So, but at least we're going to be able to create sort of like an environment, an atmosphere where we're going to provide resources and ways for students to be able to deal with these things. So, yeah, that's a little snapshot of how that's going to look like. Yeah.
I think, you know, for me personally, the rhythm that we get here is so unique, like you were describing. And I think it also brings opportunities because it's almost like we get a reset, a small reset in between quarters.
Yes.
Our rhythm is set for us. And I think it's an opportunity, again, to kind of regroup, reconnect with God, and look forward to whatever the new quarter might bring. In spite of the challenges that we may face, right?
I know you've talked a couple of times. I heard you use the word intimate or intimacy with Christ and with God. And that is a very individual, personal, which is honestly, like, your spiritual experience is so personal. It is the most, I think, personal and intimate relationship that you can develop. However, as a community here, that's another word I've heard you using is community. How can we take this theme that we kind of connect with intimacy and that concept of a one-on-one deep relationship and expand that to make a positive impact on the community overall?
Yeah. No, thank you for that question. You know, I met a lot of introverts on this campus. So depending who you ask and who you're talking about, it's hard to give when you're not, you know, refueling yourself. Like if you're not putting stuff into your heart, into your being that is good and healthy for you. And in this case, you know, having that intimate moment with Christ, it's hard to give to people. Mm-hmm. Like it's hard to serve. It's hard to really care. I mean, yeah, you can care about people and it's such a human thing to care about your neighbor. But it's not going to be sustainable. It's not going to be for the long term if you're not filling yourself up with what Christ can give you personally. Mm. And especially when, again, talking to the introverts, when you interact with the introverts, it is so much more harder for them to actually have a sense of community because they struggle to connect with people, right? Mm-hmm. The shyness, anxiety, everything that comes into play when you're trying to get yourself out of that, you know what, I need to spend time with people so that I can build some sort of, group of friends, support system. But I think that if we can start with ourselves and have that consistency, however that looks, right? Maybe it's 5 minutes every day, 10 minutes every 2 days. Everyone's different. Hmm. But if we are, if we are charging ourselves with the good things that we need in our lives and we need Christ in our lives, then I think that as we come together, but obviously that comes into play every day, it changes, it goes up and down. I feel that that's where we can become a more healthy and more connected community, which in a way I sense that that's the direction that we are heading. But it all starts with us individually, personally. Mm-hmm.
It almost sounded for a second there like you were describing exposure therapy for introverts.
Yes. Which,
but you know, as an introvert myself, I think that there is, and I like how you segued this, Becky, because spirituality through our Western lens is very individualistic, right?
Yeah.
And yet scripture and the people that we encounter through scripture did not experience it like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was very much community oriented.
Right.
And so sometimes it's sort of difficult to grab some of those concepts and say, like, I want to experience the type of spirituality that so-and-so, you know, lives describe and apply it through our time and now in the type of life that we're living. And we get frustrated because it doesn't work. But it's because a lot of it was lived out in community.
Mm.
And here, that community is provided for us already.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's such a beautiful thing that if we, like you're saying too, Arturo, sort of get out of our comfort zones a little bit.
Yeah.
And not just think of my spirituality or your spirituality or Becky's spirituality as what you do, she does, or I do in our own time. Yes, it includes that. But it's also the type of connection that we get to experience on a day-to-day basis, even if it's 30 seconds or a 15-minute conversation,
mm-hmm.
right? And we hear more and more of this kind of happening outside of Christian circles where people are thirsty for connection,
mm-hmm.
where post-pandemic we didn't know what to do with the residual of feeling alone and feeling isolated. And the awareness now that we have just as a whole about mental health and things like that.
Yes.
And all of that is real. And I think it's so beautiful that God has provided for us not just a work space and environment and call, however you want to frame that, but the community to go along with it. Yeah. However small or large you consider that to be for mm-hmm. your, right. for your, you know, for your circle.
Mm-hmm.
So those were things that were coming into my mind as you're describing that, which is tying into this idea of a journey. And yeah.
Well, that feels like a good segue into talking about the next part of our podcast today. We wanted to talk a little bit about the idea of themes in general and just kind of looking a bit closer at what the value is, what the purpose is. But before we dive into that, I wanted to take a moment to thank an individual who made this podcast possible. because even the boldest journeys need support. And I want to give a special thank you to Dwayne Wall and his generous gift to the Department of Communication and World Languages here at PUC, which provided the equipment that brings this podcast to life. We are very grateful to be able to have this opportunity, this equipment, and just the generosity. Thank you, Dwayne Wall, for providing this opportunity for us. So
very grateful. Thank you,
Dwayne.
Yeah, so let's dive into this next segment here. We want to talk a little bit. We've been focused very much on the theme for PUC for the next year. And we just kind of take for granted that having a theme is what you do. But my question, and I think I know a lot of other people who really kind of thrive on this question, is why? Why do we have a theme? Why do we need a theme? What value does a theme bring to our life experience?
Such a good question. Maybe I'll share some thoughts too, because we were talking about this separately, you know, Becky, and I think Arturo and I have had conversations about this of, I think in maybe some of our audience's minds, this will be like, oh, another year, another theme. Mm-hmm. And how does it tie into what I'm actually doing in my job, right? But I think God is always moving, you know, and doing new things. And first of all, I think the Bible is full of themes. It's full of stories. Mm. And maybe looking at it through the lens of like, this is not just about what we are thinking or talking about as a community, but how is also God showing up in our individual lives, in our individual journeys, right? And the other part of that is, okay, you know, we make plans in work. We make plans for family. When we're in relationship, we make plans in other areas of our life. So it may not feel as organic, but maybe spirituality also requires a level of intentionality.
Mm-hmm. You know, I like that you brought up the word story, actually, like the theme and a story being connected. I was thinking, as you said that, about some plans we're making for a colloquium this year for the gathering of faculty and staff prior to classes starting. It's the week before classes where we all kind of get back together. You guys have both been there for these a couple of times now and just kind of refocus ourselves, which is why we're talking about the theme today, because we wanted to introduce the theme a bit before we get to that point where we're going to be sharing it in person with all the faculty and staff. But one of the activities we're going to be doing centers on the hero's journey. And that's going to be and I know, sorry, introverts, I know what you're thinking right now. It's going to be a group activity. Please don't stay away because of that. But the whole concept, it's a literary concept of having the hero go through stages of a journey from the moment they're called to walk through a door all the way through setbacks and accomplishments and up and down hills and into valleys and through rivers and all of those complex parts of life that we experience, spiritual life and otherwise. But just that theme of story, of our lives being our own stories, but how we're also part of others' stories along the way and how we help each other through our own journeys and we become part of each other's story. We become maybe each other's hero at some point, just making our way through the journey and the story of our lives. And so I just feel like that's a good application there. We're going to put that to good in action there at community. No, what is it? Colloquium.
Colloquium.
Yeah.
No, I just kind of going back to what you both have said, you know, story and focus. When we were putting together the spiritual theme, I know that I got some feedback as to, you know, why even a theme? What's even the point? Mm-hmm. Why we haven't had one really for a very long time. And there might be ways that some sort of a theme comes into play here on our campus. For example, through SA, Student Association puts together a theme every year. And maybe some of the other departments do that internally. But, you know, when I was thinking about this, it didn't really hit for me as to why a theme is important until I started to bring this theme to my team. And a big shout out to Tessa, my student director of marketing and social media. She got very excited when we were talking about, you know, creating T-shirts for our students, mm-hmm. our student directors, our campus ministries team, thinking about what are some of the merchandise. You know, now we're talking about sort of the things that you can do with a theme. And she got so excited because she's very creative. She loves to create things, draw and whatnot. A graphic design is her major. We showed up, we scheduled a meeting, we were sitting there and she pulls out her notebook and it's a notebook that is just blank pages. And then she's drawn multiple sketches of what she envisions the theme is going to look like on a t-shirt, on the back of a t-shirt. And she was so excited because for her, this now becomes something that she can visualize and see it in a t-shirt. So that when people look at it, they're kind of like, oh, what's this all about? That t-shirt is nice. The journey. What does that mean? So it's sort of, I feel like the theme, it gets people to get excited about something that we can focus on this year. Something that can draw us and bring us together. And really, we can do so much with it so that as an institution, we can let people know, you know, not just insiders, but also outsiders know that this is what we're focusing on this year. Mm-hmm. And this is what we want to accomplish this year.
Yeah. I'm curious about how do we create something that's relevant and not just a slogan that we slap on a t-shirt? Speaking of t-shirts, and not to, everyone loves t-shirts. I'm not knocking t-shirts at all. And also as a side note, I really love that we already have a student super invested in this theme, that we've already got someone excited because, and you know how we did it was because she had a purpose that fit within that theme. She had a part, she felt, I mean, I'm just going to be cheesy here, but it was a calling for her to create something visual to represent this theme that she's really suddenly feeling very connected to. So it's a way to draw her in. So anyway, it's a side note. I think that's really cool, but how do we create something as a theme that is more than just a cool slogan on a t-shirt? What makes that relevant to us? Tough question. Throwing you guys in there.
You can't have two pastors comment on things. We can talk forever.
Why do you think I'm the one asking the questions?
That's an excellent question. I think maybe part of the journey is thinking about the question with more pause and saying, well, okay, like we can rally up the student body, but how does this impact our people? Whether it's food service or facilities or the staff that is only part-time or adjunct or, you know, or fully tenured professors, right? Like everyone, how does a theme impact them? And I think part of the question is it can impact it even if I don't subscribe to an idea that people are talking about, or even if I am hesitant about a specific wording, I can see how you are living out that theme in your life. Mm. I can see how it's impacting you in some way. And you know, people in marketing and branding talk about this. You are your own brand.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Whether you believe it or not, or understand it or not, we all have a brand and we all are projecting and selling, or, you know, sharing, for lack of a better word. Perhaps selling, people might be shying away from that concept, but we all have something to share and to bring to the table.
Yeah.
And so in terms of spirituality, of course, even if we don't share our journey and our story in full depth, there's a theme to our life, right? Mm. And I am curious to see how that can impact PUC to the degree that we are willing to share that with one another. Mm. But also perhaps attaching to that, to the degree that we become more of a safe place where we can share that with one another.
Yes.
How does that land with you guys?
Yeah, that's, you're posing a very, just a human approach of, the thing is, a theme or anything that you try to accomplish, like, you said it right. So for some people, it's not going to resonate. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be relevant to them. So how do you make it relevant? I feel that just for the sake of it, of the theme and the slogan, it already invites questions. It already invites conversation. So even if it's not relevant to you, the moment you are pulled into this, okay, this is the theme of this year, there's no way you can avoid it. I mean, you'll see it in so many places. And at some point, hopefully, if it wasn't relevant to you then, it'll become relevant to you eventually. Mm. And so as Lem was talking too, I think that what really just sort of makes a theme even more relevant is that it invites accountability to those that are willing to be a part of this, right? Mm. Because if we are able to find something that can pull us together, not saying that we're going to be, you know, hiring an accountability police here or anything like that. We're not going to have any of that. You know, I'm going to be following you, Becky. Becky, you are not, you know, you're not following the theme. No. What I'm saying is that it's just going to invite us to be more aware of how we are able to support each other through what the conversation that the theme is opening up. And that's how I feel it makes it even more relevant.
And perhaps it makes us accountable to ourselves a bit as well, not just to other people, but there's a self-accountability that needs to be part of a self-discovery journey, a self, whatever you want to call this journey that we've been talking about, becoming fully awake, becoming fully alive. No one else can do that for you. So at some level, you have to be accountable to yourself.
Yes, always. Yes.
And I think there's two paths where we can respond here. You know, we can either respond with contempt to God's invitation or with curiosity. And the second, I think, is harder because the idea that we have seen everything, heard everything, know everything, and can anticipate how God will move in our lives and on this campus, basically will cloud our eyes and will not allow us to see the new ways in which God is moving. And if we really believe that he makes all things new, then I think there has to be room, there has to be possibility that we will encounter new ways that he's moving and doing, and that we will witness new things. And I love this idea of, like, when we talk about like discipleship and you will be my witnesses, I don't think it's just like you're going to witness to what has happened before. You're going to be witnesses to the new things that will happen.
Mm. Right.
You will be my witnesses. And so allowing God, like, it's also giving God space to be God.
Oh yeah.
Right. Like, how can you surprise us, God?
That curiosity.
Curiosity.
That word is really sticking with me through this, as this whole conversation has been unfolding, that word curiosity and intentionality. Mm. And those two things almost feel like they're antithesis of each other. And I kind of like the idea of trying to partner them. Mm. And I don't know what that looks like right now. I'm just kind of thinking aloud in a way, but those two words have really stood out to me a lot in this conversation that I appreciate you guys bringing those up.
Yep. Did we answer your question?
Yes,
Becky?
I know. That's what I was wondering here for a second.
Yes, I think you did. I got really caught up in the conversation, so it was good. I think.
But it's a great question. Like, I think it's on many people's minds.
Yeah. I think we, you've talked, Arturo, about how there are different people, different students here from different backgrounds, different approaches to spirituality, different levels of comfort in sharing that spirituality or religious affiliation or whatever you want to talk about. But you also have talked about having different ways. You mentioned that each quarter you have a different approach that you're taking to this theme that's overarching the school year. And I feel like as we've been talking through, it's an individual experience, but it's also a community experience. I think that ties it together really well in that you have looked for different ways to make this theme for the year become relevant and meaningful to everyone on campus. And in any given group setting, you cannot possibly make everybody happy all the time. We all know this. And so if you are approaching this theme with a different mindset, different methods each quarter, I would hope that at some point, everyone on campus feels like they've made some connection with that theme. At some point, even if maybe fall quarter, they're kind of, I didn't really feel it this quarter, but winter quarter, it suddenly hits them. And at some point, so what I'm thinking is, it doesn't mean that we're going to feel uber connected to this theme all year long and just feel its strength all year long. But I think that it may, like I think a lot of things in life, like your spiritual relationship with God, it's going to kind of ebb and flow and feel different on a different day or when you're in a different place. And winter quarter, we talked about how winter quarter is its own beast. And so, I mean, it may just kind of hit you different in different times of the year too. So I kudos on this approach. I think it's cool to have these different elements trying to reach different people where they're at and connect them with something that's meaningful. Yeah.
And it's not also, because I think you touched on something important, is it's not just about the theme itself of, oh, this is how it's going to bring us all together, help us connect together. But it's also about how you reach out to the people that you're wanting to connect with, because there's just so many ways you can do that. Mm. So for us, I think, and I mean, not just for the pastoral staff, but really for anyone that works with people, you know that you can't reach everyone the same way. Mm-hmm. Not everyone is going to show up to, you know, to Vespers. Not everyone is going to go to church. Not everyone is going to go to a small group. Not everyone's going to go to assembly. Not everyone is going to, maybe some people might not show up to colloquium. I'm just saying, but
how dare.
No. It's just the thing is, if we can, again, here comes that word again, intentionality. If we can intentionally reach people different ways, we'll hit the mark. Like we'll be able to reach them. And even if it's just an email, which some people, I feel they really appreciate when they get an email from someone that they don't typically connect with, or a text message or a call. I think that's something even now on our campus that's already happening. And I'm even more excited as to how we can put that together with a theme, right? Yeah. So that I can connect with you in this way, but more specifically through this theme that we're trying to build so that we can grow as a community and we can be connected as a community. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Journeying together while also having our own individual experiences.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Which makes the experience that much richer, I think. To be able to be part of someone else's journey and have them a part of yours. Yeah.
And I think that is so, it's contagious and it can have a deep effect, because especially on this idea of Adventist colleges and universities and the perception of spirituality that all our different organizations and entities have, and how people perceive us and think of us, is not just about what is popular and what is, you know, making headlines. Or it's, I think what we've talked about today, it's really how we experience God as a community. Mm-hmm. And that is, first of all, an internal process, right? Yeah. And I think, to the degree, it sounds like to the degree that we are intentional, we open ourselves up to community. I think that was another word. Bring in curiosity. I think then this theme will become alive.
Again. There you go.
Nicely done.
On campus, and we'll have more meaning, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's so much good stuff there.
Yes.
Well, I really appreciated having this conversation with the two of you. Thank you so much, Arturo, for joining us here on Uncharted.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been really good. I'm excited that we've explored the theme in a deep dive, because I think that it's really important, if you're going to give a theme to a group of people, to explain the why behind it, the intention behind it, and allow them space to figure out where the relevancy is for them. Right. And sometimes we just need to think it through a bit and process it a bit more. So I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to do that. So thank you.
I have one final question. Maybe try to make this as brief, but how can people support the theme, support the initiative, support, you know, what you're presenting? Like what can we do?
No, thank you for that. I was not prepared for that question. I don't have that question in my notes
okay.
here. I'm just kidding.
Surprise.
Surprise. No, I think, you know, I think that there's so many ways, but personally, to me, the best way you can support this is to give feedback, right? Because it and that's just for those of you that like to give constructive criticism all the time.
Okay.
And not just that, but I'm, you know, just kind of like the spectrum of how you give feedback. It can be positive, and if it's going to be negative, make it as constructive and positive as you can. But just getting some feedback, I feel, can help us not only making sure that we're, you know, we're being accountable to what the theme is and what we're trying to accomplish, but also it can help us prepare for the following year and every year after that. Because if we can implement a theme this year that is successful, that it reaches people, that it helps us to connect, to build community, then hey, listen, then we can start talking about what is it that we want to focus next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think feedback is going to be the best way. My email, you know, chaplain@puc.edu, simplest way. And for our listeners who might not be living on this campus, maybe they already graduated or they've never been to PUC, that feedback is welcome too. Because, you know, as people get to experience that here, I'm sure this is going to go out somewhere else and other people are going to hear about it. I would love to hear that feedback even from those who are not on this campus right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you again, gentlemen. It's been a really
thank you, Becky.
Thought and provoking conversation.
Good job.
So, those of you who have been listening here, if today's conversation gave you a new perspective, sparked a question, or stirred something worth sitting with, please subscribe to the podcast so you can keep exploring with us. We're here to uplift, encourage, and remind you that you're not alone in this journey. And if you're on Instagram, please follow us at UnchartedPUC for uplifting campus stories, fresh perspectives, and a little inspiration for the road ahead. Until next time, explore boldly, care deeply, and lead bravely.